To be singing is Everlasting Light. And I thought it would be appropriate for us tonight to spend just a few moments reflecting from the scriptures on the subject of everlasting light. We read in the passage from John 1, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Bible tells us that the life of God is the light of men. And apart from having the life of God in the earth and in us, there's no light for us. We're in darkness until the Lord Jesus comes into our heart. The world was in darkness before he came to the world. And we're in darkness until we allow him to come into our life. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And as I thought about what that meant, what does it mean that God is light and in him is no darkness at all? It means, first of all, that there's no evil in him, but it means much more than that. There's no hint of evil in him. There's no shadow of darkness in him. With God, there are no gray areas. Sometimes we don't like the fact that when we're dealing with the things of God, that there's no gray. We feel comfortable in places of gray because that allows us to hide some of the things in our life that we really ought to be getting rid of. The world likes gray areas. We hate the fact that things are black or they're white. But with God, everything is black or white. There are no gray areas. I believe that's what it means when we're told that that God is light. He not only has the light, he is light. And so in him, there is no darkness at all. There aren't even any shadows in God. There's no place where dark things or evil things can hide. In God, since there's no darkness in him, there's no fear for those that are in him about the unknown. There's no uncertainty. We know that God holds the keys of life for us. And there's no fear about facing tomorrow. We sing the song that the Gaithers wrote, I can face tomorrow. Why can we sing, I can face tomorrow? Because he lives and he's the light. We have no fear of tomorrow because we know when we get there, there's not going to be any darkness there. It will be light. There'll be no shadows to frighten us. There'll be no secrets, nothing hidden. I like the idea that God exposes himself to us completely, and we are then forced to expose ourselves to him completely. Jesus said that the light came into the world, but the darkness didn't like the light, and the men who did dark works didn't like the light, so they stayed away from it so that they could do their dark deeds in the dark places. When there's light in your life, when there's light in the world, there is the exposure of everything that God is. That's what it means when we celebrate Jesus coming to the earth. Of his fullness we've all received. Jesus, the light of the world, has exposed us to everything that there is to know about God and has exposed us to him in the same way. We sing a song from Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And the last half of that verse says, whom shall I fear? When we're in the light, there is nothing to be afraid of. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then this passage from the Gospel of John, once again, this is from the 12th chapter of John and the 46th verse. Jesus said about himself, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in or live in darkness. If we are living in darkness today, it is only because we have chosen to do so. It is not necessary for us to live in dark or shadowy places. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and if a person will put his confidence and trust in me, he does not have to live in darkness. On another occasion, Jesus said these words, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have in his life the light of life. The life of God is the light of men. Jesus said, if any man will follow me, he shall have this wonderful light of life. And then this familiar verse from the prophecy of Isaiah. This is the 9th chapter and the 2nd verse. The people that walked in darkness, we always hear this about Christmas time because this is the prophecy of the coming of the Christ. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Do you have any idea how dark the world must have been before Jesus was born? You know, we live on this side of Christmas, this side of the life of Christ, and the light of the world is the light of life is present in the world today. But at the time Jesus came, I think we have no conception of how dark the world was. This prophecy tells us that the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. I have got to say thank you, Lord, for birthing me on this side of the birth of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me into this world under the new covenant and not under the old. For the world has experienced the light of the world. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. But unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And then also from the prophecy of Isaiah, since the special music tonight is entitled Everlasting Light, I think it's appropriate that we reflect on some scripture that discusses that facet of the light, that once the light is given, it is never taken away. Isaiah, the 60th chapter, the 19th verse, these words. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. How many of you know that if you are in the darkest place on the face of the earth, you can still have light? We hear those give testimony from the prisons, that in the darkest, solitary, most lonely, dark place in the jail, they still find God, because Jesus is the light of the world. No matter if a person is stoned, strung out on drugs, stoned on alcohol, laid up in some horrible other place that this world has offered as an attractive option and has come back to bite, and the life is darkened, there's no place so dark that the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot and will not shine. The people walked in darkness, but they've seen a great light. And Isaiah said that the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Excuse me. The Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Jesus said that those who believed on him and followed him would be a light just as he is. And even though he's not here, he lives in his people. And so he said, he said, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light shine before men. And as I thought about the principle that he was expounding there, ye are the light of the world, and how that relates to the everlasting light that we just read about in Isaiah. And I was thinking about the verse in Matthew 16 where Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know, once God sent his life into the world, and once that life was revealed as the light of men, the devil himself can't put it out. And when you have experienced the life and the light of Christ in your own life, no matter what comes against you, it cannot be quenched. And then these verses from the book of Revelation. It is an everlasting light. Do you know that when the new earth is made, there's not going to be any sun? When the new universe is created, there will be no sun. There'll be no moon. Do you know why? There'll be no need of a sun. There'll be no need for a moon, because the Lamb of God will be the light. Hallelujah. This verse from Revelation 21:23. And the city, that is New Jerusalem, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the candle thereof. The Lamb is the light thereof. I'm sorry. And then Revelation 22:5. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, nor for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. As the choir is singing tonight about the everlasting light, I want you to be reminded that these are not just some nice words that have been set to music from the imagination of some men or group of men. This is the word of God set to music.